What if your next move wasn't another job, but a career? The St. Louis Building and Construction Trades are looking for the next generation to build what's next. Earn while you learn through a union apprenticeship. No massive student loan debt, just real training, real skills, and real opportunities. Many union trades earn $40 to $75 an hour in total compensation, including health care and retirement. With major construction projects happening across St. Louis and Missouri, there's never been a better time to get started. Build your future. Visit mouniontcareers.com today.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, welcome back in. It is Tobin and Leroy. Zach Gelb in for Brendan Tobin today on this Friday. Chris Perkins is going to join us coming up at 1:20. You know, Leroy, I was actually just looking at this. The first time I was ever on WQAM was actually January of 2010. I was visiting my grandmother. Yeah, you were shocked by that. I was visiting my grandmother, and I was friendly with Sid Rosenberg since my dad worked in New York at WFAN, and Sid used to work at WFAN, and Sid brought me in. And they put myself on the air.
I went to school with his sister.
Who, Sid?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
Where did you go to high school?
No, college.
Oh, college, Michigan.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I was going to say.
No.
I'm like, I didn't think the Rosenbergs and the Hordes really would be growing up.
We're not from the same neck of the woods.
Well, you never know. You're a black guy. That's a redneck, you were telling me earlier.
No, so. But I grew up in the hood in New Orleans.
I would have known
if there was a Rosenberg in the hood.
Well, you may have saw Sid on the side of the road somewhere in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sid had me on, and I remember going to the old studio, and they had like a list of words on the radio that Sid couldn't say that wouldn't have been FCC violations, but they didn't want him, to say those words anywhere on the air. So that was my first time on QAM, and then I've listened throughout the years. Like, I remember the old website with those like funky photos that they would do. Oh, they would do like smoke show of the day, but then they would have the graphics of all the guys that were on the air on like a TV, like an old school TV. And I always remember seeing that online. And then Hockman and Crowder used to put me on for all those years. And I became somewhat close with you just going back and forth in the business. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's the second hour of this show, which used to be called Hour Tua. And I remember driving around in Boca Raton 3 or 4 years ago, and I'm listening to you and Tobin, and I didn't really know Tobin at the time. I just knew you. Mm-hmm. And I go, what is this song that you guys play at the top of the hour? Yeah. Whoever wrote it or is singing it is just, it's a hellacious singer. And I didn't know that it was Tobin.
Yeah.
And you get on the air and you're like, oh, I'm talking to my guy, Zach Gelb, and he says your song stinks. And Tobin got all annoyed, and then I had to call in and go to war with Tobin. And Tobin got mad not only at me, but he got mad at you because you kind of took my side in the entire thing.
Hey, which is the gist of our relationship.
Yeah.
He wants just free reign of silly sauce and whatever. And sometimes as a group between me, Brittany, Vlad, Jennifer, Marcos, we have to like rein him in just a little. It's like, because otherwise
you guys are like his ADD medication, pretty much.
Yes.
Ah.
But and he'll you know find ways around it. Oh, you guys are no fun. You got just having a little fun, but
this is the ironic part, because 3-4 years ago, I would be on with Hockman and Crowder, and I told him Tua is not the guy that you think he is, and Hock and I would just go at it. So right. I was someone that was not a part of the Tuanon, as they do say. With that being said, though, it is ironic when I'm filling in for Tobin today on this July 31st, all these years later, and Tua isn't here. I kind of miss hour number Tua. I was looking forward to the song and then realized it wasn't going to happen.
You just made a friend, because if you see Brittany shaking her head, she has been out.
So I was basically the voice for the voiceless during that. when I went after Tobin for the song, and everyone else just had to go along with it because you guys were on his radio show.
So, and I have a different approach to this, more kind of like you do with the goalie conversation. I don't think everybody thinks you need Peyton Manning or Tom Brady to win a Super Bowl. And if you look at the Super Bowls that these guys have won, some of them they weren't very good in. Peyton Manning could not throw the ball in his last Super Bowl. If it were anybody else, we would have been saying, what is this playing quarterback?
Yeah, got carried to a championship, they would have said.
And that's fine, right? Everybody thinks you need Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. You need one of those quarterbacks when, in fact, you need what we were talking about earlier. You need a competent quarterback who's going to get you out of a couple of pinches a couple of times a year, who's going to be able to run the offense, stay poised, and make plays here and there. You don't need a Hall of Famer. And I have more proof to justify what I'm saying than you do besides the one or two guys that have won several.
Yeah, the only thing is in the last 25 years, though, yeah, there has been a Brad Johnson. There has been a Joe Flacco. There has been a Nick Foles. But you see a lot more Tom
Brady. Jeff Hostetler.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers.
Well, those are the guys. Well, no. Aaron Rodgers only has one. Stop.
But he won one.
Okay, but so did all those other guys we just mentioned. So that doesn't mean that those guys are equal to Aaron Rodgers, even though they all have the same amount of Super Bowls, and that's my point.
But the multiple Super Bowl championship guys are Hall of Famers.
Right, and there's only a handful of them, right? We're making it sound like you got to have one of those. Well, yeah, everybody wants a Tom Brady or a Patrick Mahomes. They're anomalies in this equation, right? They are. And so, like, my defense of Tua was not that he was one of those guys. I just figured what his skill set was, you could win with him because he was an accurate passer that threw the ball well enough to get the ball to your playmakers and have them make plays.
Yeah, but right? The problem here?
He was hurt.
Hurt, all yes. the time. Hurt, yes. And also, when it got a little cold, you had to go on the road in a playoff game in Kansas City.
If I had one problem with Tua, and this doesn't go away unless I see it, is that the one thing that all those quarterbacks we talk about, and we could go through the list of them.
Yeah.
Right? The one thing that they have is mental toughness.
1,000%.
They're not going to let a little bit of criticism, they're not going to let a little bit of adversity get them up in their feelings. That's what happened to Tua.
And I understand that you see that big debate. Was it Flores or was it Tua? Who was at more fault? And most people sided with Tua. But look at the end, and I was not a fan of Mike McDaniel, never was. I'm a fan of him as an OC, not a head coach.
Right.
But at the end, even Tua started going back and forth with Mike McDaniel. There was no accountability from Tua on his shortcomings.
See, and here's the deal. There's certain quarterbacks that go into those situations and they want to earn the respect so they don't put themselves out there saying the things that separates them from the other guys. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have a star player or a quarterback, I give you a perfect example right now in baseball, Bryce Harper. Buddy, you're batting 150. You're saying we need help? You're the help. We're paying you. Bat more than 150. Right? He's out there saying we need more talent. We need some people to come help. No, you're the guy. So from that standpoint, I really do believe that there's some people that are just not aware. And so I think Tua was trying to.
He was the definition of tone deaf, Tua.
Right.
Yeah.
But a lot more of it had to do with his mentality of going about playing that position. Because some of the things that he said that made him tone deaf, a lot of guys wouldn't even go there. A lot of guys who are mentally tough wouldn't even go there. Like, if you play quarterback in the NFL and you can't deal with criticism,
you're screwed.
Screwed. Because guess what? I'll give you a perfect example of the opposite of that.
Okay.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Look at Dak Prescott.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and they have pounded him year after year after year, knowing that it ain't got nothing to do with him. It's all the machinations going around with their organization.
And it's been an internal sabotage, too, because right. The way that they treated him with that contract, you see what's going on with Baker Mayfield right now, and I understand it. Dak's like, all right, whatever. This is what happens in Dallas. I'm going to show up and be a damn good quarterback.
Right. So think about the two situations, the two organizations. It's harder to play in Dallas than it is to play in Miami.
Without question.
And so from that standpoint, when you see Dak Prescott had never won a Super Bowl.
No.
Dak Prescott has had an incredible career if you look at the numbers. Yet he gets pounded like, oh, he'll never win. Can you win with Dak Prescott? Like, this is all the stuff going on. Guess what? He's handled it to the point where everybody's like, wow. Does he really believe these things? Yes, you got to play the role.
By the way, going back to Peyton Manning, what do you think? How many games over 500 in his postseason career do you think he was?
He won two Super Bowls. I would say one.
Yep. Right. 14 and 13.
Because keep in mind, here's what people don't understand. When you make the playoffs every single year, right? Until you win the Super Bowl, you're 0-for.
Yeah.
Or 1-for. You got a losing record.
And he was a brutal postseason quarterback to begin his career.
Right.
Like, not just bad.
We heard about Peyton Manning, too. Remember early on? Now, keep in mind, we don't credit the second place guy for playing against the Tom Brady. We didn't go about it that way.
Yeah.
We didn't say, like, when Utah played Jordan. We didn't say Karl Malone is not good enough to get over the hump.
You said he just got Jordaned.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we didn't do that with Peyton Manning. There's certain guys we don't do that with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And he's got to go up against Patrick Mahomes.
Well, Jackson's problem, and this is the undercover part about it, not only does he have a Kansas City Chief problem, he also got a Buffalo Bills problem because right. They played him twice in the postseason and lost.
Right. So we look at certain guys and say they can't win. We don't look at the circumstance in which they can't win.
Yeah. By the way, headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. In Miami at your Domino's game, you'll always find your Abuelito. And whenever you want a low price, you save with your Pricito. Save now with your Pricito at Doral Kia. Marlins' 3-game winning streak is over. They lost to the Mets last night. The Marlins will be back in action in Queens. Later this evening, you can hear the game right here on WQAM. It will be Jansen Junk going up against Freddie Peralta. Chop Robinson has been shining to start training camp. The offense, not so much. There's been a bunch of pre-snap penalties. And as I said earlier, Chris Olave signed a 4-year extension with the Saints for $132 million with $90 million guaranteed. And also, you saw yesterday Deebo Samuel make his triumphant return to the San Francisco 49ers. That is going to be on a 1-year contract worth up to $7 million. This weather report is brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Hurricane season is here. Make sure your roof and windows are ready. Call 954-968-8155 for a free estimate. And if you're looking to go to the beach today in South Florida, and hopefully you don't suffer an injury like Leroy Hoard did, today may not be the best day. There is a heat advisory out there, but it is cloudy. And there's supposed to be a lot of rain, some thunderstorms coming up at about 5 p.m. Right now, though, it's a high of 94 and a low of 79. I've been teasing. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I tell you a little secret about camp?
Yeah.
That a lot of people don't realize. When there's no game planning, the defense always wins.
Absolutely.
Very vanilla offense. The defense always wins. Why do we make a big deal about this?
Well, if the defense can't win up against this offense, then it's going to be a bad defense.
Like, but I'm just trying to understand, when you game plan, you avoid situations that you deal with every day in camp. But yet, Perk is going to get on. Oh, the defense is dominating. Every camp that I've ever been in for the first week and a half, the defense dominates.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If Leroy Horde was a defensive end, he'd be like, yeah, look at me. The defense is dominating. Since you're a running back, you go, oh, yes. I got to make excuses.
Right, right. it's not, but that's the reality of
no,
it.
No, you're not wrong.
Right?
It's because you're trying things out on offense. About,
and it's then like you run the same place.
Yeah, sometimes, right, it's going to not work. And is it the defense being really good, or is it they just tried something that, you know, the players just simply couldn't execute? We'll take a break here. Tobin and Leroy, Zach Gelbin for Tobin. We'll be back with finally that college football question I have about the Miami Hurricanes, which you've been teasing for the last two segments. I promise we'll get to it when we return in 5 minutes.
What if your next move wasn't another job, but a career? The St. Louis Building and Construction Trades are looking for the next generation to build what's next. Earn while you learn through a union apprenticeship. No massive student loan debt, just real training, real skills, and real opportunities. Many union trades earn $40 to $75 an hour in total compensation, including health care and retirement. With major construction projects happening across St. Louis and Missouri, there's never been a better time to get started. Build your future. Visit mouniontcareers.com today.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tobin and Leroy, Zach Gelb in for Tobin. Country star Brad Paisley is coming to the War Memorial Auditorium in Fort Lauderdale this September. We got a chance for you to win tickets, and that will happen coming up today in about 15 minutes from now at 11:40. This is a Live Nation show. So, Leroy, I was looking at the national championship odds yesterday, and Miami had the sixth or seventh highest odds. Mm-hmm. And I think that's low. Like, I look at the Canes this year, I think they have a better quarterback than last year with Darian Mensah now taking over for Carson Beck. You have still Fletcher back. You have the second best player in the sport that's not a quarterback in Malachi Toney because Jeremiah Smith is one.
Yeah.
And then you bring over Cooper Barkay from Duke, who already has a connection with Mensah, who had had over 1,000 yards. I get it. They lose Reuben Bain on the defensive side of the ball. They lose Mauanoa. But Mario Cristobal is a phenomenal coach, specifically inside the trenches. Like, I go into this season saying whenever the preseason poll drops, I think Miami should be the second-ranked team in the country.
They also lose. They lose both pass rushers.
Yeah, in Mesidor, yeah.
In Mesidor. Here's what I think. I think that the only thing that Miami is getting caught up in, and this is why coaches just dismiss it, is teams that we like, right? Like, the odds are based on who's going to bet, right? If you gave Miami the best odds, then everybody would bet all the other teams. So that's why the odds are what they are.
I don't know.
Even though I don't think Alabama has a real chance with that quarterback. Ohio State is going to be up there. What's Clemson going to be, right? As much as I've grown up a fan of LSU, they're an SEC school with a lot of coverage and a lot of fans, but they haven't quite been there, right? And so I don't like – yeah, I can't argue with it. What is Georgia?
I think Georgia's a really good team.
A really good team, but there's nobody on that team that I can think of that, you know, is going to separate them from everybody else in the country. They're going to be in the hunt because they're good at a lot of different places, but not great at one.
Yeah, I think Georgia's kind of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I get it, the comparison may not reign true this year because Kansas City just missed the playoffs. But where we were before they missed the playoffs, everyone keeps on telling me about Georgia. They're vulnerable. They're vulnerable. They're vulnerable. Yeah, they haven't won a college football playoff game in 3 years. But last time I checked, every year they're vulnerable. They still find the way to win the big bad SEC.
Right. Which has more to do with what we think of the big bad SEC. How about that?
Yeah, right? Well, it's a game of tug of war. And it's the Big Ten and the SEC playing a game, and that's for the top dog. And then for third and fourth place, it's the ACC and it's the Big 12. And the ACC has been winning that game of tug of war recently, and the Big Ten has been winning that game of tug of war recently. Like the only two schools that do not play in the Big Ten or the SEC that have a shot to win the national championship this year are Notre Dame and Miami. Like, I don't care who comes out of the Big 12, BYU, Texas Tech. We saw last year with Texas Tech in the playoff. They got in and they had an offer, on the stat sheet. So that conference right now, like, I don't love the ACC. I think that's another reason why people should love Miami going into this year. Even though they didn't win the conference last year, they should win the conference this year. So there's a little motivation there. But pound for pound talent-wise, outside of Oregon, I don't think there's a more talented team in college football than the Miami Hurricanes. And when I look at the odds to win the national championship this year, Ohio State's one at plus 550. You have Notre Dame 2 at plus 650. Oregon 3 at plus 750. Texas at plus 800. Georgia at plus 850. Indiana sitting there at plus 950. And then you have the Canes in 7th at plus 1100. Like, to me, Miami on paper right now is better than Indiana, better than Georgia, better than Texas, better than Notre Dame, and better than Ohio State. The only team that I would, and I think Miami has a better offense than Oregon, but the only team that I look at and say, yeah, team-wise, all around, because of how good Oregon's defense should be, I would say that the Ducks are the only team right now on paper that I think are slightly better than Miami.
Which is crazy because they've had some success year after year after year, but once they get to the playoffs, it's been dud.
Yeah. Right? And that's the thing. We talk about how you did earlier with Lamar and Josh Allen and these quarterbacks that show up and they play really well in the regular season. Then come postseason time, they don't do well. Dan Lanning for the last 4 or 5 years, first time ever being a head coach, transitioning Oregon from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. First year they win the Big Ten championship. He's done everything he can at Oregon besides win the Natty. So now you go into the season saying, can Dan Lanning win the big game? Can Dan Lanning win a national championship? Because when he first got to Oregon, they lost to DeBoer twice the year Washington did go to the national championship game.
Then they actually made it to the semifinals that year, didn't they? Washington.
Yes. Well, no, Washington made it to the championship game.
To the championship game against Michigan.
Yes, yeah.
I was trying to figure out when they played.
So they played in the Pac-12 championship game that got Washington into the playoff, and they played in the regular season. They lost both of them.
Right.
Then you see a little while after that, first year in the Big Ten, they win the conference championship. They beat Penn State, but then they get blown out by Ohio State. Last year, they make it to the Final Four. They lose to Indiana twice. So they kept on moving the ball down the field under Dan Lanning, and they don't lose many games. The only thing left to accomplish now is to get to that Natty and to win it. And this year with the team that they have, with Evan Stewart, with DeCorian Moore, with Dante Moore, the defense, and some of the players that they brought in, there's no reason to say, like, there's no excuses left for Dan Lanning. It's go time now, where this is the first year where I go, if he doesn't win the national championship, that's where I think you can legitimately criticize him.
It's crazy because when you think of Oregon, you've always thought about their high-powered offense scoring a bunch of points, and they're actually driven more by their defense now.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with Mario, the guys that he brought in before he left, and how he set it up, because he was a trenches guy at an Oregon school that was known for their high-flying and quick strike offense.
Yeah, and also I think it's the defensive mind of Dan Lanning, too. And
that
they have so much money now with that Phil Knight money, that they're getting to shop at stores that maybe Oregon of 15, 20 years ago wasn't able to shop at. And in addition to that, you look at Ohio State, who, as much as it pains us both to say this, they've been one of the most successful college football programs of the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not many schools could say they've defeated Ohio State. Oregon under two different coaches. Mario 1 year did go to the Shoe and beat them. And then last year you saw Miami in the college football game pick off Ohio State en route to their national championship appearance, where they ultimately did lose to Indiana. So there has been sustained success there at Oregon, and they're one of those programs that the one thing that's missing in that trophy case is a national championship. So I know a lot of people, they're tuning in today, and they're like, I see it in the YouTube comments. They're like, oh, Gelb's got to get that Michigan hat off. You know, he's in hurricane country. I like Miami. It's all about the U. I go back to the 7-4 crew in that song that I used to play all the time when I was too young to probably listen to it. And I love Mario Cristobal. I've been a huge fan of his, and college football is 1,000% better when the U is back, and it's nice to see the U back, and now you better go win a championship this year, because anything short of winning a national championship this year for Miami is a failure.
I think Mario's in a good place, because here's why. If there were any coach before that that got to this point, right, we would look at it totally different. But Mario has built something that's sustainable.
Oh, absolutely.
And so you know you're going to compete for a national championship year after year after year. And what I tell people all the time, like, getting to the playoffs and not winning is not a failure. So many things have to go your way at a certain point in time during the season. And I don't think there's much that separates when you get to the Final Four or the Final Eight. There's not a lot of separation from these teams. It's just whether you can execute on that day, right? Mario has built a team that, regardless of what you think of them, as far as their talent, you don't have to worry about them playing a certain way.
And they showed last year, even though they didn't win the national championship, they're capable of winning big games. Like, Oklahoma for years would dominate the Big 12. They would get to the college football playoff under Lincoln Riley, and they would do nothing. So last year, yes, they didn't win it. But the fact that they got to the championship game shows that they could dominate this ACC, where Clemson's down, and it doesn't look like they're making this great comeback to being a national championship contender program again. Louisville's solid under Brohm, but I don't think they're a national championship contender. The one program I think you keep an eye on for the present and future years is SMU, because Rhett Lashley is staying, and he's done a really good job with the Mustangs.
Yeah, which is crazy, because I don't know if you're old enough.
The Pony Express?
Yes. Yes.
I'm a student of the game, Leroy.
I also, how about this? The year I got drafted, you know who else was really good? Houston.
No. Oh, yeah.
With Lamar Lathan. I think they had three guys go in the first round.
And they got a good team this year.
And they had the Heisman Trophy winner.
In war?
That year.
At where, excuse me?
At Houston. Who was it? Ware.
Yeah, Andre Ware. Yeah.
Andre Ware. So, yeah. I think college – Miami has done two things that is going to be pretty amazing. Everybody's going to talk about. One, how they play football is what college is, right? It's not always about the talent that you have. And Indiana did a good job of this too. But it's how well you play together. It's the effort in which you give, because everybody doesn't have a whole team of first rounders. And so no matter how much money you spend, all your players aren't going to be first rounders. So you have to find a way to get them all to play a certain way. And Indiana did a hell of a job at it last year. Miami did a hell of a job of it. Hence, that's why they were the two teams there.
Well, look at this new era of college football. In the last 3 years, Michigan didn't have the most talent. They were the best together team. Ohio State did have the most talent, and talent did prevail. But last year, Indiana didn't have the most talent, and they ended up winning a championship. And you look at the Big Ten style of play, which is physical, run the football, and play great defense. It's played a big role in winning two out of the last three national championships, because Michigan and Indiana are a lot more similar than what did happen with Ohio State.
And if you look at Miami, that's how Miami plays.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Yeah, so if football has as much as people want to change it, it still boils down to the same basic fact. Who controls the line of scrimmage usually wins the game.
The Dolphins are in training camp. The Canes start next week. The Marlins are in action. The Heat and Panthers offseason news, too. We've got it all. And you could also listen to WQAM and the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. Download it today and make Tobin and Leroy your favorite show. We're coming on back. When we do return, we got to give away those tickets. And also, we're going to do a staple of this show, I think it's time for a little tickle your fancy, Leroy. We'll get to that heading into the weekend when we come on back.
You want a career that pays? How about $40 to $75 an hour in total compensation, including healthcare and retirement, and getting paid while you learn? That's what the Union Building Trades offer. St. Louis is booming with projects, and contractors need the next generation of skilled workers right now. Skip the dead-end jobs. Skip the mountain of student debt. Learn a trade. Earn a paycheck. Build something that matters. Visit mouniongcareers.com and start building your future today.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. It is Tobin and Leroy, Zach Gelbin for Tobes right now on this Friday. Chris Perkins is going to join us coming up at 1:20. We'll do a little Dolphins training camp with him. Country star Brad Paisley is coming to the War Memorial Auditorium in Fort Lauderdale this September, and we've got a chance for you to win tickets right now. Be caller number 4, and you could win tickets to the concert. This is a Live Nation show. All righty, I've heard about this segment, Tickle My Fancy, Leroy, and it's been explained to me. There's no imaging. There's no music. I just run through the games and I see if it tickles your fancy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And let's just say you're picking the games. You're probably going to be way off.
Okay. I didn't know it was a competition in terms I had to figure out what you like.
No, but Tobin a lot of times pick what he like. And then okay. Ask if it tickles my fancy.
Leroy, well, I did a little. Yeah, go ahead, Brittany. Sorry.
Leroy also doesn't know how to play the game. And that's the fun of it.
Oh, really? Well,
he doesn't really understand the concept. Is that he is just supposed to answer. You give him the weekend slate, and he's supposed to say whether he's going to watch it or not. But if he's interested in it. Hence, does it tickle his fancy? But he always just comes up with, like, why all the reasons why he can't watch it. And why would Tobin even ask him why he would watch something that he knows he would never watch?
Yeah, I think I'm less sensitive than Tobin. So I won't be offended, Leroy, if you hate the games that I give you. But I will suck up to you right away because I know one thing about you because you're an old guy. You love golf. So are you watching the Rocket Classic this weekend in Detroit? Does that tickle your fancy?
Actually, no. You know what I've been watching?
What, the LPGA?
The Open Championship, the women's LPGA. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the early morning thing, right? So I get up, then like as soon as you get up, even before when I was able to golf, even when I would golf, I golf at 7 in the morning on the weekends. And I would get up to get ready and stretch and stuff like that, put it on the TV, Open Championship, men's and women's, is right in the prime time when I'm getting ready.
I was going to do the LPGA, but then I looked at the golfers and I'm like, I don't know any of them. So Leroy goes to me, oh, who do you like to win? Like at least in the PGA, I could tell you, oh, Patrick Cantlay's 10 under right now, or Cam Young is 9 under.
Can I just tell you, if you guys ever want to be interested in golf, or you ever want to know if you should pick it up, do not watch Patrick Cantlay golf. It is the equivalent to watching paint dry and you will hate golf forever. Ever. You know what they did a side-by-side on Golf Channel?
Mm-hmm.
They did who's the guy who just won the Open Championship? Fox. Ryan Fox. They did how many shots Ryan Fox hit before Patrick Cantlay took a putt.
Yeah, his pace of play is very slow.
And it was something like 30 shots because he's very fast.
I have a Patrick Cantlay story, actually. So I got hot early in the pandemic winning outright winners. For the major championships. Like I had Morikawa, Fitzpatrick or someone that randomly won one, like right. Long shots. And I just always liked Patrick. Like he was always close. He was always in the mix.
Yeah, he was always right there.
So
right.
For years and years and years, I'm betting Patrick Cantlay, and just throwing money down the drain. I tweeted out, I can no longer bet Patrick Cantlay. He'll probably go on to win a major championship. Within 5 minutes of sending that tweet, Patrick Cantlay follows me on Twitter and said your tweet was very funny. And then I ended up putting more money on him and ended up losing. So he's never won a major. I'm very disappointed in him. Alrighty, next game here. Are you intrigued this weekend? In Chicago, you have the New York Yankees visiting the Chicago Cubs. Is Yankees at Cubs at Wrigley tickle your fancy?
No.
Absolutely. You're not an Ivy guy? You don't like Chicago? No?
No.
Okay.
Keep in mind, and this is even worse for me because I didn't grow up with baseball.
Okay.
And
New Orleans, there's no baseball team.
I grew up at the same park. Like, we had little parks where you played.
Let's be real. If you were on the side of the street in New Orleans with like a beignet and a po' boy and some hurricanes, you could probably envision baseball going on in the streets. Yeah. Like, I've been in New Orleans for Mardi Gras. There's a lot of things that I don't know if I actually saw, but I thought I saw them.
Oh, yeah. It is. All it takes is, I've never seen anybody that I brought to New Orleans get through two hurricanes without being a slobbering drunk.
Oh, I had to stay in New Orleans, the Super Bowl, when it was there 2-3 years ago, for 10 days. I got to the airport when I'm leaving, and the lady goes to me, can I just get a salad with grilled chicken? And she goes, you don't want like Cajun on it? You don't want this on it? You don't want that? I'm like, no. I want lettuce, tomato, grilled chicken. That's it.
They don't know how to cook grilled chicken.
Ugh.
Like, I never had a grilled chicken breast until I left New Orleans.
That's crazy. Some of the best food, though, I've ever had. That place, Drago's, where they're doing the oysters right on the grill, which is awesome.
Yep.
I was out with Roman Harper and Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden. We went to some steakhouse and we're leaving. And Pat P, obviously legend down there,
yeah,
gets pulled over. And myself and McFadden are just thinking, hey, like, it's probably just a fan. Like, we'll keep on walking. He'll catch up with us. It was the director of the casino across the street. So we get into a private room the Monday of Super Bowl week. I'm sitting there saying, how much money am I going to have to lose here? Like, I didn't make millions. Like, I haven't made millions like Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden. Patrick Peterson takes out about like $5,000 or $8,000 from the ATM. I'm like, crap. McFadden takes out 500. I go, that's my man. I take out 500 bucks. We get to set the price. McFadden was like, I just want to play $20 hands. There's a table over us. It's a private room. So it's only our table and another table. There's like three drinks. We didn't see the people. In walk week before the Eagles play the Super Bowl up against Kansas City the second go around. It was Jason Kelce, Kylie Kelce, and Bo Allen. And it was just the six of us in the room having a grand old time.
Yeah.
And I got out of there about like 3 a.m. and, you know, only lost 200 bucks. So I was good.
That's the thing about going to the casino. You have no idea what time it is, but you're just trying to, and you can't win early. If you win too early, you're done.
Yeah. And McFadden didn't want to drink. So Pat P goes, you're my drinking buddy for this evening. And they're giving free drinks in the casino. So I was just trying to make sure I wasn't losing too much
people
money.
People take for granted. Everywhere is not like Vegas.
Yeah.
Most casinos throughout the country charge you for drinks.
Yeah. Atlantic City, they don't. Like, I'm going to Atlantic City next week, and they don't charge you for drinks.
They still have casinos?
I don't know if you like to go to them, but yeah, they do have casinos down
there. I used to go to AC all the time. It was like East Coast Vegas.
Yeah, they got some good restaurants down there.
Yeah.
They got Chef Volo's, a great Italian restaurant. This place, Stephen Cookies, so looking forward to that. Alrighty, I know you love the WNBA. You want to watch Saturday, the Indiana Fever take on the Minnesota Lynx? Does that tickle your fancy? Well, no. Caitlin Clark.
No, although I do like watching Cunningham and Clark because one is like a personal protector and she's like female Draymond Green. She's always into something, Cunningham.
Yeah.
Always.
It's amazing. Like the WNBA, the players hate Caitlin Clark. They hate her.
For reasons I can't explain because they all make more money because of her.
Can you be real? Like, we're men. I have a sister. The petty drama that my sister gets in with her girlfriends, it's the same thing on the WNBA scale.
Right.
They hate Caitlin Clark because she's the popular girl that is bringing all this attention to the league. And there's a lot of other great players that maybe some are even better than Caitlin Clark. And they're like, well, why didn't I get that attention?
Right.
Well, you know, I've been dominating this league for years. Alrighty, how about soccer? Are you interested this weekend in the Messi-less Inter Miami FC going up against the Columbus Crew?
Don't sell it like that. Don't sell it like that. See, if you would have said,
"Well, I'm not a fraud," Messi's not playing.
If you would have said, well, to be fair, if you would have said, "Are you into Inter Miami playing this week against whoever?" My first question would have been, "Is Messi playing?"
Exactly.
So I appreciate you. You know, no.
I'm a man of integrity. I'm a man of honor.
Although they have been undefeated since they got back from World Cup break.
It's amazing how much you watch sports. Like, see, the fact that you know that, that is fascinating to me.
I don't sit down and look at things like it's must watch TV, like sports, but I like watching competition. So if I'm scrolling through the channel in the middle of the day, right, and say it's the middle of the day and I stop and I see, oh, NASCAR, how many laps they got left? 10? I'm in, right? Same thing with Formula One, with IndyCar. If I'm watching a big horse race, how many minutes till post? All right, I'm in. Like basketball, whatever. Like, I'll watch competition. I watch like crazy stuff on ESPN when nothing's available. So am I a must-see television, sports television guy? No. But I have been known to randomly pull up to some sport and watch it.
All right, last one. Are you watching Men's Junk tonight? Jansen Junk is going to be on the mound. Marlins at Mets.
It's disappointing, but there's
you
a
like
number.
Watching that junk.
There's a number, right? The number is 4 runs.
And if the Marlins get that, then you'll be happy.
Right. They've won one game out of the last, 15?
Well, they had the sweep against the Phillies.
Well, they won. That was the game they scored less than one run. Mm-hmm. That's the one game that they've won, and I don't know how many games, if they scored less than 4 runs. It's crazy, but I always wonder, with young hitting, do you have these ebbs and flows and ups and downs because they're young hitters? I don't know how baseball – I'm not used to a sport where if you do 30% of your job, you're awesome.
Yeah, here's the problem with the Marlins. They overachieved big time in June, so people then thought they were a good team. Then you have a bunch of young players that started feeling themselves. And then they don't play well, and it's like, oh, everyone was saying we're so good. Now everything's crashing and burning, and then you lose 12 or 13 in a row.
Right.
But I don't think they're as bad as what they are now, but they also weren't – was as good as what they were in June.
You know who didn't fall for it?
Who?
The organization.
Oh, yeah.
Because the organization said, no, we're not making any moves. Like, this was before
the day
they
the
went
Marlins
on this.
Are buyers, I'll believe it when I see it.
Who are they going to buy, though? Like, if they buy somebody, it's going to have to be, but you take most of the money.
Well, yeah. Like, what? They're going to buy Tarek Skubal? Like, his next contract, you would need 4 Miami Marlins teams to equal what he's going to eventually command
right.
on the open market.
Or what about Tobin was like, Trout? Let's get Trout.
Ugh, why? First off, he's not waiving his no-trade clause, number one. He's not waiving his no-trade clause to come
to go to Miami.
Yeah, that's not happening. All right, it is Tobin and Leroy. That's another edition of Tickle Your Fancy. So, not a lot really to work with. I'm going to sound like Tua right here. I'm going to blame everybody but myself. Those games this weekend, I was watching this. I go, how is this a segment? It absolutely blows the games this weekend in the summer.
Well, because Tobin has something that he adds to it that you don't. And I always say my tickle's not fancy. So
what, UFC?
UFC.
Well, I love
boxing,
UFC. I
boxing.
Love UFC, but it's not a premier weekend for UFC. It's like it's one of the smaller cards. So I wasn't going to waste your time with that. I respect you.
I'm old, right? What do you think? You know how many fights I have on my, that I've ordered fights in boxing and UFC and then fell asleep beforehand?
But here's the thing, though. In my generation, as someone that's younger, the UFC is so much more popular. There's been 3 boxing matches that have been worth a damn in my lifetime. Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder, which was awesome. Those fights were great. Pacquiao Mayweather took way too long to happen. It was a big event, but it should have happened 5 years before it did. But Floyd was playing games with Manny over the drug testing because he was afraid of him. And then it was the Canelo Crawford fight that I went to in Vegas, which the rest of the card stunk, but the final fight was a good fight.
We
boxing
were there.
Just doesn't deliver. Yeah, so was I. Oh, you guys were there? And I was there? And we didn't hang out.
Yeah, I know. Didn't know you were there.
There's something about these former football players that do shows here on QAM. Channing Crowder. Oh, I was in New York, Gelby. I should have hit you up. Leroy Horde. Oh, I was in Vegas. Now you don't even hit me up.
But it's not, because guess what? Our show was at 7 in the morning.
Ah, yeah, that's
true. And
did you go to the fight?
Yeah. It's when nobody's in the building.
Where'd you see? Where'd you sit?
We were pretty high.
Oh man, I was rolling in a better circle. I was in the touchdown club downstairs.
See, there we go.
And then I was in a luxury box.
No.
I walked in with Dave Chappelle. It's in an elevator. It's only time I've ever been starstruck. It's Dave Chappelle and I. And I go, you can walk the red carpet. Don't worry. I'll just go around you.
Do you know who my guy is?
Who?
Gale Sayers.
Ah. That's the one guy that you get starstruck on.
That's the one. It's the only signed autograph picture I have.
How about that? Yeah.
That's it.
Dave Chappelle. And you know me. I could talk. I was in the elevator with Dave Chappelle. I humming. It was the only guy I've ever got starstruck by. So, all righty. We'll take a break here on Tobin and Leroy. We'll see what tickles Leroy's fancies next. I do have a potential trade down the road for the Miami Dolphins if Malik Willis doesn't work. We'll tell you that on the other side.
You want a career that pays? How about $40 to $75 an hour in total compensation, including healthcare and retirement, and getting paid while you learn? That's what the Union Building Trades offer. St. Louis is booming with projects, and contractors need the next generation of skilled workers right now. Skip the dead-end jobs. Skip the mountain of student debt. Learn a trade. Earn a paycheck. Build something that matters. Visit mouniongcareers.com and start building your future today.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.